Passage. Get ready for that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. In Sunday school, we talked about, in the Wednesday night, we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's ministry of illuminating the Word of God. In other words, helping us, really causing us to understand what the Bible teaches us, causing us to be able to live it. And we talked about how the unsaved mind thinks the things of the Word of God are foolishness, unnecessary. And in one place, an unsaved man talked to Paul. He says, "What's this babbler have to say?" When he was in Athens, and they called him a babbler, babble, babble, babble. And another time, one of the governors said, "You know, I don't want to get involved in your nitpicky, debates over the words and things you're supposed to be doing from your religion." You know, that's how the world looks at Bible study, the efforts Christians make to understand the Word of God. And we want the Holy Spirit to help us to understand. We want the Holy Spirit to help us to live it out. And we want to come to verses like this and spend some time. And when you come to these great verses, we could spend weeks and weeks in study time. And as you know, if you've prepared a message or prepared a devotional, you always learn and kind of accumulate more learning than what you can share with students or the people at a time. And I really wanted to talk a lot more about sacrifices. And, you know, you can just springboard off a verse like this, and there's so many important truths. Now, I did want to spend one more week on this verse and bring out something about our sacrifice and our reasonable service of worship. And maybe you're like me, and you enjoy coming to a passage like this and spending some time to really break it down, to really learn and take in each phrase and word to try to understand in the broader context of what the truth is that God wants us to know. Well, what we see from a passage like this is that Christianity is a heart religion. This verse, and by the way, did you memorize Romans 12:1 yet? I'm going to have to... Is anybody... Who worked on memorizing this? Put someone on the spot here that didn't have it memorized before or needed to relearn it, that you worked on it, now you got it down. Anybody? Marilyn did. Good. I'll put you on the spot. No. Yeah, I feel that way too sometimes. Now, students. Chrissy, what would you do if you had a class full of students and you had a little bit of a homework for them and they came back and none of them did it? That wouldn't be very good, would it, situation? Would they have to write on a chalkboard, "I will memorize Romans 12:1 by next week. I will memorize Romans 12. No. Now, I'm not at all. I'm encouraging you to memorize Romans 12:1. I'm starting to work on Romans 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." I think I did it looking up, did I? So I would encourage you to learn. This is one more week before we move on, to learn this verse. It's one of the key verses in Romans. And it teaches us great truth. Christianity is a heart religion. It's not a ceremonial religion. Really, all the other religions in the world are empty ceremonial religions. And Christianity is a heart religion. Christianity is a religion about personal relationships with Christ and with each other. It's not a mechanical set of disciplines, rules and regulations, religious activities. Some Christians have turned the Christian faith into that. But it's not biblical Christianity. It's not true Christianity. It's not Christ-centered Christianity. It's about the heart. It's about a relationship. It's about our desire to give ourselves to God. Be a follower of Christ in our minds and in our hearts, giving our wills to Him, and therefore our bodies, because it's all of us. God owns all of me. God deserves all of me. I want to give God all of me. And this is what the importance of Romans 12:1 and 2 is, in light of all that He's done for me, right? By the mercies of God. And so it becomes an important verse when we start to define Christianity apart from the other religions of the world. Let's do our scripture reading. We'll read verses 1 and 2. They do go together, but we're looking at Romans 1 here, and we're going to look at one aspect about our reasonable service of worship this morning. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's have a prayer of blessing before we begin our message time. Father, we pray that you'd bless this time, that Holy Spirit, pray that you would illuminate, shine a light on these scriptures so that the truth becomes evident to us, that we can understand it, grasp it, we can see how it's important in our life. And then we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would cause us to be able to live out this truth, that you would generate a desire in our hearts to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and Lord, that you would enable us to do it. And so, Lord, give us an understanding of that it's reasonable, that it makes perfect sense, that it's engaging our religious life, our devotion to you with our minds, our heart, our will, our emotion, every aspect of us, our body, and intentionally offering ourselves up to service to you. And pray your blessing, help us to just really get our minds and hearts wrapped around this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here God is calling us to offer our bodies as a sacrifice. The Bible says in several places when the people of Israel were gathered together for the feast three times a year, they weren't to come empty-handed. It's not about money. It's about the fact that the whole idea of sacrifice means you're bringing something to God. And what we're to bring to God now that we're saved, and what Christianity teaches, those Christ followers, is we're to bring ourselves to God. Jesus has come and fulfilled all of that Old Testament law. It's no longer necessary to bring an animal for sacrifice. It's no longer necessary to give money to support the temple work in Israel, because Jesus has fulfilled all of that. And so in this age, the act of worship is an act of giving ourselves to the Lord, offering ourselves as the sacrifice. He wants our hearts. And so we're told here that offering ourselves sacrificially to God is our reasonable service. Now let's just kind of try to understand more about this idea of reasonable service. Let's turn to Psalm 40. Let's begin in Psalm 40. Really, when I say and emphasize the fact that, you know, the Bible says here, by the mercies of God, when you step back and you examine what all that Christ has done for us, he gave his life for us, he's caused you to be born again, you have eternal life, you can count the blessings that he's done in our earthly life. Well, doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense to then offer yourself back to the Lord? Well, that's part of it. And I think that it takes the Holy Spirit really opening up our understanding so that that does make sense. You know, you can go to an unsafe person and begin to convince them, hey, look at everything God's done for you. And they'll say, well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's logical. If it's given something to me, then you know, I should be willing to give back. But they really always hold back, and they really don't give themselves. And I don't think they really believe it. They don't really believe it because they really haven't had a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in their life to really open their eyes to this understanding and really to change their thinking so that they say, you know, it does make sense. So I'm not just appealing, and the Bible is not just appealing to our sense of logic when it says, hey, it's reasonable. It's not just appealing to that. It's appealing to the idea that you understand in a spiritual, in a divine, miraculous way what God has done and who he is. And that it becomes really a miraculous work of the Spirit in our hearts to say, yeah, he has put inside my heart this desire that it does make sense to offer myself back to him in service. And see, you come to that thinking as you process it through your mind that's being renewed, your heart that's being renewed, to say, you know what, I do want to worship God. What do I need to do? Well, it says here, I need to give him myself. I need to serve him in all aspects. And in that way, I'm giving back. It's a miraculous kind of work that processes through the mind and the heart and the will. Let's see that here in Psalm 40. Now, Psalm 40, I think, is an important psalm. Let's look at some verses in this psalm that are also ones to really grab a hold of that can be meaningful to us in our Christian life. Look at verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Now that sounds like a converted man or woman. That's a person who has been saved from destruction and saved and given a new life, and a feet upon a rock, a new song to sing, a new purpose in life, a heart to serve and love and worship the Lord. And Psalm 40 expresses that well. What horrible pit or miry clay has Jesus Christ delivered you from? And you have a testimony if you say, He delivered me from my sin. And you can get more specific and you can talk about a certain sin or the sins that enslaved you, the destruction in your life, and say, but Jesus saved me and He brought me up out of that. And He did put my feet upon a rock. And I stand in Christ. And He's given me a new song. And now my heart worships Him. It's an important expression of what it means to be a converted person, a person longing to serve God, given a testimony of His salvation. Well, as we lead into our verse in 6, 4 and 5 says, blessed is a man that makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. See, now there's an evaluation of understanding what God has really done. And it's a lot more than just earthly deliverance. It's what He's done for my soul. I wouldn't have a life if it weren't for Him. I'd be on my way to hell. You see in verse 11, the same idea. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me. That's the same word in Hebrew that is related to the Greek word by the mercies of God. It's plural. Everything good God has done and given to us. By your tender mercies, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. We realize what the Lord has done in His mercy to save us from our sin. It really expresses the heart. Look at verse 16. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Has this psalm expressed your heart so far? Have you really identified with these words and say, wow, that gets it. That's me. This is what I want to be. This is what I really think and feel. I want this. Well, I hope verse 6 through 8 also does that. Look at what David says as he recognizes this relationship that he yearns for in his heart. He says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. You know what 6, 7, and 8 are essentially saying for the Old Testament believer from David's perspective? The same thing Romans 12, 1 is saying. It's not really a new concept. It's the same concept brought to life in Christ. We're to offer ourselves. It's what God has always wanted. Yes, it was right for the Old Testament believer to bring a sacrifice because that's obedience to God. But it was the heart that God was after, the genuine heart that said, I want to serve God. I want to follow Him. And it's not about the mechanical, religious, ceremonial act that checks boxes and automatically makes you right before God. It's about the heart of the one who brings the sacrifice. Becomes the heart of the one that is seeking a relationship with God. He says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but what God really wants is something in the person. And look what David says here in verse 6. My ears you have opened. It's kind of tucked away in there. My ears you have opened. We begin to try to understand what these words mean. One suggestion that I think is interesting is found in Deuteronomy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. This is going to give us a little bit of understanding in saying, you know, it's a reasonable service. God is after the heart and the mind and the will to worship Him. And what He's looking for is a heart that's willing to love and serve Him. My ears you have opened. If you want to see it be a reasonable service to the Lord, what God wants out of us is a heart willing to love and to serve Him. And when we say that my ears have opened, here's one aspect of that. In Deuteronomy 15, we have some regulations given for slaves and slave owners. And it's talking about treating a Hebrew slave with kindness and generosity. There's a time set where you might set them free. But also there's another idea that maybe a Hebrew slave says, you know what, I don't want to go free. And it says in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 15, it says, and if it happens that he says to you, the slave, to the master, I will not go away from you because he loves you and your house since he prospers with you. He's found it a blessing and he's fallen in love with his service and the master's family. He says, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear. Open up his ear and thrust an awl in, kind of an earring, to mark and say, you belong here. It says, through his ear to the door of the household of the master. This is where you're going to stay. You're now part of my family. And he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise. You see what this nuance is being brought out here is, you have someone who is more than a slave. Someone who has come to say, you know what? I have come to really love and want to serve my master. And the Lord God is looking for those who would follow him in this way. He's not looking for adherence to religious ceremony and religious practice, but he's looking for those who willingly will come and say, I want to be more than a slave. I will act like a slave. I'll give all of myself to you in service, but it's more than that. I love you. I want to give myself in eternal, lifelong service to you because I love you. And the idea that's the thought is when it says he has opened my ear is being brought out right here in a slave coming to God and saying, Lord, open my ear. Nail it to the doorpost of your house. I'm willingly giving my body, myself to you in service. Your slave forever because I love you. See, turn back to Psalm 40. I think that's one part of it. I think it might mean a little more than that. But one part of it we see. When David cries out this way and we identify them and we say, we realize sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Lord, I am willing to open my ear up to your commands. Open my heart and mind up to your word. Tell me. On whatever you tell me, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. I want to give all of myself into eternal service to you because I love you. And I want to listen to everything you say and follow everything you say. I am willingly and lovingly serving you. Next we see here, a burnt offering and sin offering you do not require. Look at verse 7. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. And you see David expressing this in the sense that he understood there was God's will for him in his life. Saul had come and been a disobedient and was disqualified as king, but David knew that God had a call out and that it was really this eternal sovereign purpose of God to use David and to bless him through his lineage to bring a king to sit on the throne of Israel forever. And it's very humbling for David to surrender his life, to say, Lord, you're in complete control. Every aspect of my life has been laid out for me. The word of God in obedience, the idea of a book and a scroll being God's plan for my life. You see, if you want to offer yourself in reasonable service, you come and say, you know what? It makes perfect sense to me. As I've processed this, not only do I'm willingly and lovingly serving the Lord in humility. Here, ready? I'm willing to do anything you've laid out for me, Lord. The idea that in the scroll of the book it is written of me, anything this Bible says I will do, And any plan you have for me that's kind of written out, planned out, I surrender to. That's humbling. You know, I don't do that with just anyone. You can't, because you're somebody, you might be wrong. But God's never wrong. And if you want to reasonably give your body as a sacrifice, living sacrifice, in worship to Him, there's this humility that comes and says, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll live the life you have laid out for me. Show me, Lord, and I'll go. Next, we're going to see from this obedience. He says in verse 7, Behold, I come, scroll of book is written in me. Look at verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your laws within my heart. We're talking about straightforward obedience. Samuel said to King Saul, when Saul used the excuse, well, the people, they're clamoring for a sacrifice, you know, and you weren't here, and so I thought I better do it. You know how important sacrifices are, and he disobeyed Samuel. Samuel told him to wait until he showed up before the sacrifice came, or to do the sacrifice. King Saul was not to do sacrifices. He wasn't a priest. And when Samuel came and rebuked King Saul for his disobedience, he said, Had the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You want to give your body a living sacrifice? You want to understand that it's an act of worship? Then all of our obedience to do the will of God, to understand what God is calling me to do. There are people in life stations now, your fathers, your mothers, your brothers, your sisters. You have jobs. You have all kinds of responsibilities. Children, you're supposed to be obeying your parents. There's all kinds of ways. I've said this before, like 90% of the will of God is all laid out for us. God is looking for someone who'll just yield over and say, I'll just do all of that, God. I really know what I'm supposed to do. And that's the reasonable service. That's an act of worship. When you process that through your mind and say, I'll be humble, Lord, I'll give in, I see what you want me to do, and I will obey. That's what the Lord's looking for. That's what He's pleased with His people. Offering ourselves sacrificially to God is our reasonable service. Now let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 10. I hope you're tracking now, and you say, And you take a deep breath, and like me, maybe put your head down and say, but I can't always do that like that. We're going to see here how Christ has fulfilled that. I think it's important to understand this aspect that enables us to be a living sacrifice. It's not about our grit and buckling down and doing this. It's about doing it in the power of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's see how that fits together here. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, if you look at verses 4, we're going to learn an important truth that God wants us to understand about animal sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Let's just stop right there. Animal sacrifices are insufficient. They're insufficient because every time the practice came, it was a reminder, oh, you know what? We've sinned. We need another sacrifice. We've sinned. We need another sacrifice. How many times would you need to sacrifice an animal if you offered one every time you sinned? It would just be a continual reminder, I need to go get another lamb. Oh, I need another lamb. 5 minutes later, oh, I need another lamb. It's a continual reminder. Because pretty soon it becomes a burden to get all the sacrifices, the lambs brought together. Animals are insufficient. They're inadequate. Look at verse 4. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. They're inadequate. They can't take away sins because they're not people. They're not actually paying for sins. And an animal is brought, not necessarily against its will, but it's brought unwillingly. An animal becomes a victim. You go and you find the animal that's proper for a sacrifice, It has no say in the matter. It doesn't volunteer, does it? It just is there, and it's grabbed, and it's taken to the altar, and it's placed on it, sometimes tied to it, and the knife is plunged to it, and its blood is shed. And animals are not willing, in that, not sense that they rebel, but they can't willfully give themselves. They're inadequate. And since it's the blood of an animal, it doesn't truly pay for sin, which the wages of sin is death. That blood is what washes away sin, but not the blood of an animal. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Animals are insufficient, inadequate, and they can't take away sin. But Christ voluntarily came. Look what it says in verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, you know, Jesus voluntarily came down from heaven, entered into human flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. He did it voluntarily, because now the fulfillment of Psalm 40 comes to pass. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but look how it's translated in the Greek. But a body you have prepared for me. The Hebrew is using an idiom. It's talking about the ear you have opened. And opening the ear in one aspect is taking that all through the ear and saying, Lord, I willingly give myself perpetually to you as your servant because I love you. I want to be your slave forever. You own me. Well, if he owns you and you give yourself that way, you're taking your body, your whole self, and you're saying, I belong to you. I obey you. I serve you. And so the Greek translation is right to put it this way. By opening the ear, the idea is, Lord, everything you say, I will do. And our interpretive understanding of this is, but a body you have prepared for me. And this becomes Christ-centered because Christ entered into human flesh and he took his body. And he didn't do what us sinners do. He took his body fully and completely 100% and yielded all of it over. He was willingly and lovingly serving the Father. He in humility came and did everything God commanded him to do. And he lived in perfect obedience. And it was the Father that commanded him to die on the cross for sins. And every ounce of Jesus' life, he gave that to that willingly. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And he fulfilled all of that righteous law, all of that ceremonial law. Jesus gave his life in his broken body as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for all sins. Now look at the result of this. He says in verse 8, previously, saints, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire. You had no pleasure in them, which are offered according to law. That's what came first. It's not meant to save souls. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. The second is the way it should be. A man who comes and fulfills all of that perfect obedience. God is looking for a person who would willingly and voluntarily yield over his whole self in perfect obedience. That's what God's looking for in a worshiper. Someone who can give everything. Now, if you're like me, you stand back for a moment and go, oh, I understand that, but you know, I don't always do that. But look, this is why it makes it possible for God to accept us as living sacrifices. It's not about our perfect giving over. He's made provision for our failure. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not about our perfect obedience. It's about that willing heart to say, Lord, here I am, a living sacrifice. I give myself to you. We see that because in verse 10 it says, by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. This idea of sanctified, it's a position. Because of Christ's complete and full sacrifice of his body, then we become sanctified in a position. God says now that you're saved in Christ, you take your body. Your body is now holy and acceptable to God. Your life is now an offering. And I want your heart. Do you agree with this? Is that you? Where's your will? Where's your mind? Are you thinking this way? Do you desire this? Do you love God? You take that now. It's possible. It's possible. You take that and you offer your body as a living sacrifice. And it's not about doing it perfectly all the time. It's about your heart. Come and say, Lord, I give myself to you. Because Christ fulfilled all, it makes it possible so that we become a sanctified, a holy, a set-apart sacrifice in our body. So don't approach Romans 12 and say, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but I'm not very good at it, and I'm still working on it. No, you approach this way. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I am saved, and I am giving myself. And you start right now, and you have this mentality, I've been sanctified. This is what I am called to do. The Lord is pleased with me. I give myself to you. Because it makes perfect sense. Now, the last point I want to make about this living sacrifice is it will always cost us something to serve the Lord. It will always cost us something. That's what a sacrifice is. It's something that cost me. The man who went into the flocks and got the best lamb out, the one that would have made him the most money, the one he could have used for breeding stock, that lamb, the best one, that's the one he gave up. That's the one he brought to the temple and offered it so that it might be sacrificed. That's what an offering is. And it will always cost us something to serve the Lord. It will always cost us something to worship the Lord. Cost us all something getting up, dressed, and coming on Sunday morning while everybody else slept in and did what they wanted to do today. So it already cost you something. And if it was easy for you to get dressed and come here this morning, somewhere in your life, it's going to cost greatly for you to serve God. He is calling you to give yourself sacrificially to Him in some way. And you know it costs a lot. When David came and he gave the sacrifice on the temple mount where the temple was to be built, the man that owned the land said, hey, I'll give you the land. I'll give you the implements for sacrifice. I'll give the sacrifice. No, David said. King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor burnt offerings with which that which costs me nothing. The principle holds true for us. It cost Jesus Christ everything to die on the cross, to fulfill the word of God, to offer himself. It will cost us no less. If you want to serve the Lord in the worship of your life daily, it will always cost you something. Just come with a yielded heart and say, Lord, I'm willing to pay it. Help me. Help me to offer myself to pay this. You see, our reasonable service is thoughtful. You know full well what he's asking you. It's intentional. He's looking for a heart that's surrendered and yielded. It's loving. Saying, Lord, you know I love you. I want to give this to you willingly. We offer our body in humility, saying, Lord, this is what you have for me. I'll go in that direction. And it's obedient. It's what a reasonable sacrifice is. Our reasonable service is our worshiping the Lord by giving to Him all of our life. Oh, there's so much to learn about this sacrifice and what the Lord does in it. And I pray that as we continue to learn about these sacrifices, we come to a place we say, Lord, it's really everything, isn't it? Yeah.